Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Tuesday, December the 8th, 2020. 20 minutes past the hour, and we have got a big morning here on WWGH Radio. A huge exclusive coming up next hour. We have learned that Judge Fregali here in Marion has made a ruling in the case to exhume the body of President Warren G. Harding. Judge Fregali has ruled that the body will not be exhumed. The gentleman bringing that case was the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing. Now, Jim has not spoken to any media outlet, including the New York Times, which did a story on this on December the 1st. This morning, in his first interview anywhere, we will have the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing, from 9:10 until 10 a.m., and you're not going to want to miss this. I talked to Jim last night, and he has got a lot on his mind that he has not been able to say because of being involved in this court case that he is ready to let loose with this morning, 9:10 to 10 a.m. Don't miss that for love nor money. Now, heading off here in hour number one, we're going to do something we had done every week in the beginning. We've done it every other week for a while now, but it is so important because we are in such a precarious place, maybe the most precarious place we've ever been in the history of this pandemic this year, which started back in mid-March. We are going to talk to the Marion Public Health Commissioner, Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, it's an interesting time right now.
It definitely is. It definitely is. We are in the thick of this pandemic now.
Tracy, let's just start off the top here. What is it like in Marion right now?
Well, our case counts continue to climb. We're seeing 50 to 100 new cases every day. We're actually ranked number 5 in the state for highest incidence of COVID in our county. We have almost 1,000 cases per 100,000 people. So that's extremely high. The cutoff to become a high incidence county is 100 cases per 100,000. So we have sustained widespread transmission right now, which basically means that anybody that you come into contact with could have COVID-19 at this point. It's just everywhere.
Okay, Tracy, 88 counties in Ohio, 5th in the state. Marion County,
yes,
certainly is not 5th in population. What is the explanation? What are we doing wrong here?
I think that it's really hard to say. I think that, you know, it depends on how much you're staying home, how much you're wearing your mask, how seriously you're taking the pandemic. And we've kind of seen throughout the pandemic that, you know, we have a lot of people who don't want to wear the mask. We have a lot of people, we're seeing a lot of people who are having parties, having get-togethers, having slumber parties, all of that kind of stuff that spreads the virus. So, you know, I think we just need to hunker down and take it more seriously than what we have been.
You know, Tracy, and I say, I don't know what's going on in other counties. I read our local newspaper. I see what's going on here because most of my friends on social media are local people. But, you know, just this past weekend, here we are in the height of the pandemic, 5th in the state, and anybody who picked up a paper could see this past weekend, we did a peanut push on the streets of Marion. Christmas at the Palace took place, and you can see that nobody on the stage had a mask on. Why?
You know, people are, the governor has put out orders of what you can and can't do. And so I think people take that as a sign that, okay, I'm allowed to do this, so I'm going to do this, rather than looking at, should I do this? And so I think we need people to take a harder look at that stuff, that, you know, these traditions that we have, well, we don't want to not do them. Sometimes it's best, you know, to forego one time so that you have a really good next year. And I think that's kind of where we are with this pandemic right now. There's a lot of things that you can do because there's no order against it, but that doesn't mean you should be doing it.
Is this, and we've talked about this so often, and I've talked about this with the mayor, when you are planning mixed messaging, when you're planning a holiday party, which you probably should not be doing, but if you're doing that, and you see that the palace is having a show, and you see that a charity event is taking place on the streets of Marion, don't you say, well, you know, what are 5 or 6, 7 people at my house going to hurt?
Right, and then that's how things spread. You have an event going on here, maybe you have a sporting event at a school, then you have your own private event, and people are just interacting way too much. People need to be staying home.
Well, and this is another thing, and I know you stay in close contact with the schools, but 5th in the state, we are way above where we should be, way, way above, and... Mm-hmm. High school sports is still continued to be played. What are the schools saying?
You know, it's a really hard situation for them to be in. They have to take into consideration what their families and parents are saying. The Ohio High School Athletic Association is setting a lot of the priorities and the rules for those sports. And so, you know, we're trying really hard to follow that guidance. So yeah, it's just a terrible situation. And, you know, from a public health perspective, obviously for me, having a priority of stopping the spread of this disease, it would be best if that stuff didn't occur, but we don't live in that bubble. And there's a lot of people who want those things to continue, feel like they can do them safely. And, there's nothing in place that's going to stop that from happening.
I think we all understand at this point that there are no laws that would stop this from happening. But again, being 5th in the state of 88 counties, most of these people, when you talk to them, schools or people who are organizing public events, say, we're going to take the recommendation of the health department. So at this point, with where we are in Marion County, is... the recommendation of the health department to continue to play sports, continue to do community events? I mean, what would you say, or have you said, to these groups at this point?
We follow the Ohio Department of Health guidelines, and so we don't tell people who are planning an event, yes, you're approved, we think you should do this. We tell people who submit a plan to us, your plan met the guidelines from ODH. That doesn't mean that we support it. That doesn't mean we think you should do it, but you did meet those guidelines. And when we have conversations with them, we try to tell them, look, are you sure you want to do this event? We wouldn't do this event. And we walk through kind of scenarios with them of things that could happen, and we have conversations with them. But ultimately, anything for me is just a recommendation. It's not an order. I can't make an order. So we try to express the seriousness of what could happen, and then people have to ultimately make their own decisions. You know, and that's kind of the theme through this whole thing, is this is up to the public at this point. We are way past making orders and that kind of thing. This is up to the public to decide if this pandemic is going to get worse or it's going to get better. And the way they do that is by staying home or wearing their mask and not pushing it. You know, the more you push it, the more cases we're going to have.
You know, unfortunately, Tracy, the way things are going, because we've been on an uptick pretty much since the end of October and getting in dangerous places as far as our issues with the hospital and just our county rising so high on this list, don't we know at this point really what people are doing? They're just apparently, I don't want to say they don't care, but they're just not listening, I guess.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's a lot of people who have kind of blocked the pandemic out. They're tired of hearing it. They have that COVID fatigue, or they just simply don't believe in it. And that's going to bring down the rest of us. And so that's where this campaign has come from Dr. Gingrich at Ohio Health, COVID Courage, you know, for the rest of us who do believe in it, who do take it seriously, to speak up and say to your family, no, I'm not coming to that get-together. Yes, I'm going to wear my mask when I'm at somebody's house, even if it feels awkward. You know, putting your foot down and sort of saying, I support this and I'm not going to do it anymore, rather than sort of going along with it and just staying quiet.
Tracy, we're running the story this morning on the news report. I think you probably heard it there while you were on hold, that the health department has changed their way of doing things as it relates to the pandemic when it comes to contact tracing. What prompted this, and how is it different than what has happened heretofore?
So, like we've been talking about, we've sort of turned the corner in this pandemic, and we're in the thick of it. And so what we were seeing is that we're running 5 or 6 days behind the cases that are being dumped into our queue. And so by the time we're getting to people, they're already out of their isolation period. It's taking maybe 5 days to get a test result back, and then taking us 4 or 5 days to contact them, they're already out of their isolation period. So we sat down and we said, why are we so far behind? We have about 10 people doing calls constantly all day, into the evening, all weekend. And a big part of that was putting people on quarantine. And a lot of that came from the schools. One student could have 20 contacts, but a lot of it came from businesses too. And what we were seeing was, all day long, our phones are just ringing off the hook with people. I need a letter for this. My employer doesn't follow your guidelines, so can you change my letter to this to match what my employer is saying? Back and forth all day with their letter to return to work and things like that. We are also seeing that people are not following the quarantines. They're not following isolation anymore. This, again, a place where people have to do the right thing, and we're not seeing people do the right thing. And so when you look at those sheer numbers, we felt like we needed to put our time where we could make the most impact, and that's calling the case right out of the gate as soon as we get the lab result to see, do they work around a vulnerable population? Do they have other family members that are vulnerable? Do they need to be visiting their doctor because their symptoms are worsening? So it was an extremely hard decision. Last week was a very hard week at the health department as we came to grips with what we can and can't do and what's making an impact and what's not. And putting people on quarantine, issuing letters, was taking away from us being able to do the most important parts during this pandemic. So we made that choice. The other thing is, you know, from a public health perspective, isolation and quarantine only work to a certain point. The isolation and quarantine are designed to keep us from getting to this point in the pandemic. But we're here now, and those kinds of containment strategies are only going to work if people allow them to work, and they do that by staying home, and we're just not seeing that right now.
Tracy, and I know this has nothing to do with you because you can't issue orders, but in the beginning, of this, we had very few cases, certainly compared to what we have now. And in the beginning, from March until really late May, everything in Ohio, pretty much except grocery stores and drive-through windows, was shut down. Schools were shut down. Dining areas were shut down. People were sent home from their place of business to work at home. People were worried. They bought all the toilet paper. They looted the grocery stores. And we were told the reason for this was we don't want the numbers to get bad. And they never did. They didn't get to what we thought they would. Now, here we are, the numbers worse than we ever could have imagined them. And really, that's the schools are open, the sports are open, the public events are open, the dining in is open. How do you come to grips with that? Because obviously government did step in Ohio, and a matter of fact, we were applauded in the beginning for it, and now the hospital's overrun, and it's not being done.
Yeah, it's definitely a frustrating situation. What I go back to in my mind is that the governor could create all kinds of rules for what we can and can't do, but people are going to get together anyways. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the spread, is people getting together for parties after the wedding. After the bar closes, they're getting together at home. We have people who know they're positive and are still allowing their kids to have sleepovers with friends at their house. Those are the kind of things that you can't regulate, what's going on in people's homes. And so I think, you know, like I said, you get to this point where it's up to the public. It's up to people. They know what they should be doing. They just need to do it.
So at this point, aside from telling them, which I think everybody's been doing since the beginning, I mean, are we just, you know, I don't know, up the creek, as they say. Is there anything we can do?
Well, we knew that the pandemic was going to get this bad. In the beginning, we set all those orders in place to increase our capacity for PPE, get workplaces ready with dividers and equipment and supplies they needed to keep people separated. And, it was inevitable that we were going to come to a place where the pandemic took over. That's just the nature of a pandemic. Does it need to be as bad as it is right now? Absolutely not. People could still be doing things to change our situation. But the fact is, we are in a pandemic. And until a vaccine comes out, the only strategies we have are called community mitigation strategies, and that's staying home, following your quarantine or isolation period, wearing your mask. Those are the only things, the only tools we have in our bag until we get that vaccine.
Tracy, we live in Marion County here. Not that people don't travel outside of Marion County, but we live in Marion County. These are the cases we're interested in at this point. We're fifth in the state, which is extremely high for our population. So we know that if this continues, and it is the holiday season, there's got to be a point where some balloon is going to bust. There's got to be a point that something bad will happen. What is that? What are we, if we don't change, what are we headed toward?
Well, if you, a couple of things. One, the amount of deaths that we are seeing is increasing. So over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've had 15 deaths. These are starting to occur in younger populations. So instead of being in their 70s or 80s, we're seeing people in their 50s and 60s. And I think that trend is going to continue. We are going to see the backup from that then. So funerals will get to capacity, funeral homes will get to capacity and be overextended. During this time of the year, this is the busiest time of year typically for our funeral homes. We see an increase in death over the holiday season and the winter months. So they're usually already pretty full. Same with the hospital. This time of year, they're usually more full than they typically would be. So we'll see those hospitalizations increase. We'll see the deaths increase, and those systems won't be able to handle it. How are the EMS going to transport those people to the hospital? What is their trigger point for when they are too swamped to transport people to the hospital? And what happens when they get to the hospital and they can't? There's no more room. So all of those planning things that we've been working through behind the scenes since the beginning are starting to come to fruition, if we don't get this pandemic under control. One of the factors that I have been studying is that wastewater monitoring. So you can go to coronavirus.ohio.gov. If you go to the dashboard, it's across the top. We have almost 2 million gene copies per day in our wastewater now. A month ago, that was 10,000. So that tells us that in the next 10 to 14 days, we are just going to continue to see really high spikes in our cases, and that's going to lead us to the point where our hospital is overwhelmed, lead us to the point where our EMS is overwhelmed. And so we just need people to stay home and calm this virus down.
You know, Tracy, I hate to say this, but you just touched on it, I'm going to take a minute here to try to explain this, because something has got to be explained. We don't know if it'll change anything, but if people don't understand anything else about this pandemic at this point, and, you know, there are still people who don't believe it's real, there are people who are just fatigued, there are people who maybe just want to have holiday parties. The hospital is the one we're constantly hearing about now. There is nowhere I can go where somebody doesn't say people are being turned away from the hospital. If they have injuries, they're being sent to Hardin County. We're sending COVID cases to Morrow County. They're getting overwhelmed. They're not equipped to handle this. The people who work in the hospital who don't want to give their name are saying it's a disaster. I've talked to them. They've said it's awful right now. Are you hearing these things? Are these things true?
I hear some of that. I don't hear a lot of it because I'm kind of in my bubble, but we meet frequently with the hospital, and they teeter right on that edge a lot of times between being at capacity. And to be frank, a lot of times when they teeter on that edge, we'll start seeing deaths, and then the ICU bed capacity opens back up a little bit as this cycles through. But yes, our hospitals are in a very vulnerable state right now because they're getting overwhelmed with cases of COVID. So, you know, Marion General is seeing anywhere from 50 to 60 patients, COVID patients that are getting admitted. That's not even including the emergency room. They're seeing in their emergency room, you know, a 20% positivity rate in the people that they're testing. So they're getting a lot of positivity coming through the emergency room right now. And, you know, I think the people who are not taking this very seriously, when they get COVID, sometimes what's happening is they are fine. They don't have any symptoms. And then the next thing you know, they can't breathe. They're struggling, and they have to call 911 and get taken to the emergency room. It can literally happen that fast. They're still in denial at that point, you know, that they don't have COVID. All of those systems are getting taxed right now. And if we allow this to get worse, then we're really going to be in a bad situation. We are going to, you know, I don't want to scare people. I want you to take this seriously. I don't want to be sort of, you know, over dramatic about it, but just to know what could happen is, you know, those refrigerated morgue trucks coming into our area because we don't have the capacity to store the bodies and things like that. Funerals taking a really long time before you can have them because they're so backed up. And everybody is about to know somebody, you know, who has a really bad case of coronavirus or who dies. And this is what we've been trying to prevent the whole time.
Tracy, I just think there's some important things we have to go through here. And for 50 to 60 people being admitted, is that a week? Is that to the hospital?
Yeah.
A week.
Yeah.
Do we know how many people because last time I think we spoke, you gave us some numbers of how many people were at the hospital and how many were on ventilators. Do we know that at this point?
I don't have the updated numbers for that right now. I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody from the hospital since probably Thursday. But, you know, they are running 10 to 15 people typically on a ventilator in their ICU.
What do we do, because clearly we're headed toward this, and God forbid it happens, but what do we do when the hospital's at capacity? What do they do?
Well, it kind of depends on their staffing situation. So our hospital is a part of Ohio Health, so we have a region of hospitals that people can be transported from here to there. Equipment can be transported from here to there. I think every hospital in the state has contingency plans for if they have to set up an alternative care site, which would be off-site from the hospital. The problem now with that, if you listen to the governor's press conferences, they talk about this a lot. they're in the same boat as everybody else is with their staff. So staff out sick, staff out on quarantine. And so being able to staff a hospital and an alternate care site, you know, is not realistic right now. So it will be triaging and prioritizing and who can go where and, you know, how do they get them there? And all of those questions come into play.
Tracy, if I am a person in the community, which I am, and to my knowledge, I have not had it, and you know, I'm feeling okay. At this point, with where we are, fifth in the state, how do I avoid getting it? Because is it logical for people to stay home and not have any income and then get kicked out of their house? What's the best way to handle this at this point?
Right. Keep your mask on. Wash your hands frequently. Stay 6 feet away from people. And, you know, the scariest part of where we are right now is most people we talk to have no idea how they got it. We are seeing people who are saying they've been very careful and really haven't gone anywhere. But, you know, the chances that somebody around you has it are high right now, and they may not know they have it. So then you could be carrying it as well and never become symptomatic, and that's how this disease is spreading. You know, we are seeing it's a very unusual virus in that you could be completely asymptomatic or you could be hospitalized on a vent, and we can't tell who's going to get, you know, which virus at this point. And so, you know, you may not know that you have it. You may be walking around with it right now.
Well, and that's a question I have, because this has become a big question amongst people as well. In the beginning, we were told that if your immune system's better, if you're younger, you're probably going to handle it a lot better. Is that necessarily true at this point anymore?
I think that's still true. In the beginning, though, people were going to work and going home. While they were at work, they were typically masked up. This is something we're debating about with schools, too. Are you safer at work? Are you safer at school than you are in other aspects of your life because those control measures are in place? Now what we're seeing, you know, back then people went to work, they came home. They went to the grocery store, they came home. People were taking hand washing a lot more serious and things like that. Now we're seeing people having get-togethers that last 3 or 4 hours all in the same room together. So they're getting exposed to the virus a lot more than they were in the beginning. And is there a tie between all of that exposure to the amount of viral load that people are getting, and it's making them have a stronger reaction because they have so much more exposure going on?
If you start to feel bad, let's say you have no symptoms but a shortness of breath. You have no temperature, you have nothing else, you have no body aches. Is it better to go to the hospital or the urgent care or somewhere at that point than to wait to see what happens? Or do you just self-quarantine and hope it doesn't get worse?
If it's still there after one day, you need to call your doctor and get tested. So if you wake up in the morning and you typically have sort of allergies in the morning, that's kind of a thing that I have, but by 10 or 11 o'clock, it's gone. It was your normal thing. If you still are feeling sick in the evening, still short of breath or something like that, or it's getting worse, then you need to call your doctor and go get a test. Literally one symptom can be all that you have, and it could be a runny nose, a mild sore throat. You don't have to have a fever to have COVID. In fact, the majority of our cases don't ever have a fever. Even in the hospital, they may never have a fever. So don't wait on a fever before you'll go get tested.
Two quick questions here. One of the common questions, because we're getting so far along in this now, is can you get it twice? Do we know that?
We don't know that. We're too new in this pandemic to understand how this virus works. So we don't know whether you can get it twice, which is why when the vaccine does come out, we recommend that even if you've had COVID, go ahead and get the vaccine.
And Tracy, the final question is, and I don't think I've ever asked you this in all the times we have spoken, but here we are. It's December, the holiday time. You know, the government really doesn't have a whole lot of restrictions in place, but as we talked, that probably would not do anything anyway. Marion County is fifth in the state of 88 counties.
all that being said, hospitals have been at capacity, teetering on that line. Deaths are happening. Cases are awful. Everything that is what is. Did you ever dream in your wildest dreams back in May, when the curve did not get to where it was supposed to, when people seemed to be obeying things, when it didn't feel bad, when we only had one death for the longest time in Marion County? Did you ever dream before the end of the year we'd be here?
Actually, yes. We've been planning for this for the entire pandemic. We knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time. We knew that things were going to get bad when we brought people back indoors and the weather turned bad. And so this is something that we have been waiting on this shoe to drop at the health department for a long time. It's been a major source of stress for us. It's been an emotional year for us because we knew we were inevitably going to get to this point. And we have been trying to tell people since day one to not let this happen. And here we are. And so, like I said, it's been very emotional as we feel like we're kind of alone out there, you know, trying to get people to do the right thing, trying to get people to understand us and understand where it could go. And it has felt kind of for a long time now that people weren't going to believe it unless they saw it. And so now they're seeing it. And there's not a lot you can do once you get to this point, but let it ride. So it's definitely been something that we foresaw and we have been, dreading and moving toward this day, you know, all year.
And just before we part ways, what do you think is going to happen? This month is, like I said, it's the holiday month. We're going to go into January. It's still going to be cold. We know what the numbers are now. What do you feel is the next month is going to look like?
Well, when you look at that wastewater monitoring number and how much it's increased and that number lags, so that number is a couple of weeks behind, I am preparing for our cases to double. And preparing for our hospitals to get overwhelmed, preparing for our funeral homes to get overwhelmed. I'm trying to emotionally prepare my staff for those things to occur and what that looks like. Just trying to figure out ways that we can help. Like I said, it has been a bad week or two at the health department as our staff comes to these realizations and we make changes to not do contact tracing and things like that. It feels like, it feels in your gut like it's not the right thing to do because you want to do everything, but we just can't. And the light at the end of the tunnel is this vaccine, which is the thing that we're planning for right now. We're sort of starting to shift to that vaccine planning, and hopefully we can get our most vulnerable people vaccinated in the next month, which will help with hospitalizations and deaths, and then just keep holding on until we can get everybody vaccinated in the spring or summer.
Tracy, just with 1 minute, just so people understand this, what does the wastewater thing mean? Why is that an indicator?
Because you start shedding the virus in your waste before you would start shedding it outward through your respiratory system. And so that waste is monitored through the wastewater treatment plant. They've allowed researchers to study that. They're doing, I think they've got about 70 places around the state that they're monitoring and throughout the country. And so we know first there where the numbers are going. And then the other thing is, it's not relying on tests. We all contribute to that wastewater. And so you can see really what's going on in the community at a different level by looking at that wastewater. And so, they monitor it every week and you can kind of see where your baseline is and then you can see where you're going. And so it allows you to see, 10 to 14 days early where your cases are going without having to rely on testing.
And just before, what are the change in that? What has it been in Marion again?
We were hovering around 10,000 gene copies per million. It's copies of your genes. It's not actual virus in the wastewater. It's gene copies of the virus. And now we're at about 2 million per day.
10,000 to 2, and the change happened,
yeah,
in what period of time?
Over the last month.
1 month.
And particularly in the last 2 weeks. So 3 weeks ago, we were at, I want to say, 300 per day, and then we spiked the week before Thanksgiving. We went to 1,700,000. And then last week, we went to 1,900,000. It's a week behind, so that was the last one. They'll update that on Thursday when they update all the data.
Tracy, I can't imagine what your staff and you are going through at this point, and everybody in the community. It's just an awful, awful thing to talk about. I think it's the most awful thing to talk about in the entire time of this, where we're headed, where we are. And I think all of us, me on behalf of the community, thank you for everything you're doing. And hopefully people listen and we can swing this the other way somehow.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. That is probably the bleakest report we've ever had, but true. Now, you know, I'm not really sure what you say about that. I don't know how you come back and follow that. I don't think anybody certainly the United States ever thought we would be in the middle of a pandemic to the case that we are right now. And there you have it. If you have anything to say, let me know. We got a few minutes left in this hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's, you know, I think right now we obviously are just at a place where you have to pay attention to what people are telling you to do, but apparently very quickly, that's becoming a problem. That's becoming I mean, it's kind of shocking to hear that people who are staying at home are now contracting this because people do come in and see them. And we don't know if we can get it twice. We don't know what the situations are. We know that the hospital is in dire straits and has teetered on being at capacity. You know, I don't know anymore what the end game of this is going to look like. And I certainly don't know what it's going to look like over this holiday season, because you do have people who want to get together and do their normal things and shop and give gifts and have parties and do everything they want to do. But I don't know if that's practical at this particular point. I think a lot of people did it on Thanksgiving, and who got sick and who didn't. It's all precarious. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say. Do want to let people know again that our address here at the station, if you'd like to send us a Christmas card, is WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. If you send us a Christmas card and provide a return address, we will get you a Christmas card back. And we did get two new Christmas cards yesterday, and I will open those and read those tomorrow. We really don't have time here in the few remaining minutes in this hour. And next hour, we're going to have Jim Blessing on, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. So we're going to have to do this judiciously, but we will get to those Christmas cards tomorrow. Also want to remind you today that the Adam the Computer Guy show is on from 2 to 3 p.m., and we have Voice of the People with Linda Sims on today from 4 to 5 p.m. So that is also programming today that you can catch on WWGH Radio. Also, don't forget, you can write Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. That's Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. And if you just tuned in, we had Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler on, and we learned this morning that Marion right now is fifth in the state dealing with this coronavirus. And remember, we have 88 counties in the state of Ohio. So that just tells you where we are at this particular point in time. And 50 to 60 people being admitted to the hospital per week. 50 to 60. Just with coronavirus, there are still other illnesses going on out there. And 10 to 15 people on a ventilator at a time? Can you imagine? Deaths are going up. 15 deaths, I think, have happened in the last few weeks, is what she said. It's a time. It's being left up to us. So, I guess we shall see what we will do. We're going to go to break here. We're going to come back with the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing, after the break. Stay tuned. Stay safe. Be safe. Don't panic, but be precautious. We'll be back in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the place for holiday fun. For legendary actress and star series Hee Haw, Lulu, and